We just, David Tucker finally got out of that one.
I wouldn't know, I can't even operate this one to its fullest extent.
We used to see him out, he sends.
I'm a dinosaur, so if you could, wouldn't just come in my shop, they'd tell you what I'm about. I think we're fixing to jump the fax machine, they don't, their history at home for all purposes lately. We get no.
I definitely prefer hard copy stuff.
We just don't get any faxes except junk anymore, I mean, I don't get a fax a week that I want anymore.
Really?
We used to get purchase orders and, you know, prints, and occasionally they will send me a print out of the shop area down there. Other than that, we don't get them. I get to go on cruises and I have numerous opportunities to borrow money.
And you jump on those, you're not jumping on those.
This is for the second.
They go into the recycle.
Cruise of the deal.
I've never been on a cruise.
This is for the second case.
Thank you.
This is for the second case. This is for the second case. Okay, so not for the first case, but the second one.
Okay.
It's 5:30.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call to order the meeting from the City of Ocala zoning board of adjustment, Monday, November 18th, 2013. If we would please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would call the roll, please.
Mr. Carrasco, Mrs. Johnson, Mr. Jurgens.
Yes.
Mr. Moses.
Here.
Mr. Rogers.
Here.
Mr. Roos.
Yes.
Mr. Williamson.
Here. Have we reviewed the minutes of the last meeting? We have a motion to accept.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Hey. There's a lot of people in our crowd tonight, when you come forward to speak, you will be asked to swear in. That your truth is, that your testimony will be the truth. Our first case is APL 13-001.
Patty Hitchcock on behalf of the City of Ocala Growth Management Department.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. This request is an appeal of an address change filed by the property owners, Mr. and Mrs. Futch. The property address was, has been in the past, 1104 Southeast 10th Lane. 911 management in their review of addresses in the area has identified this address as being incorrect for two reasons. One, it is an even address on the odd side, as well as being out of sequence. As you can see on this particular graphic, Southeast 10th Lane curves southward, but lanes are east-west roadways. And as such, when you are assigning the address, you straighten out the road and the addresses will remain odd on the same side of the roadway. So in this particular circumstance, 911 management made the determination that the address should be 909, which then flows to 929, 949, et cetera, until it reaches 11th Avenue. It is So that explains the even on the odd side. Perhaps what is more dangerous for the situation is that when a call comes in to provide emergency service to 1104 Southeast 10th Lane, knowing that a lane is an east-west roadway, it would be logical to assume that 1104 Southeast 10th Lane would be east of 11th Avenue, whereas in this situation, it is actually west of 11th Avenue. And for that reason, the 911 management has recommended that the address be changed to 909 Southeast 10th Lane. Staff from Marion County 911 Management is here to discuss it, as well as Phil Aza from the Ocala Fire Department is also here to address concerns about not changing the address to 909 Southeast 10th Lane.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Where's 11th Avenue?
11th Avenue is, I can get my,
this is 11th Avenue. So 1104 would actually be over here. And I believe, I don't know if Michelle, if you want to jump in here with your aerial. Okay.
Can you state your name, please?
Michelle Hurst.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
This is an aerial that we did up just to show you basically where the orange X is where 1104 would actually be if 10th Lane continued east of 11th Avenue.
That is a red arrow we're seeing on our screen, is that correct?
Yes, showing the front of the house.
No, that's
that is
the existing house. I think the one that she's carping about is over on.
Can you point to exactly where?
The
arrow is on that. Well, now they changed our screen.
Well, the
arrow is
showing
the red arrow is on the
house.
Is that correct?
Yeah, it's showing that the front door faces 10th Lane here. They're actually a corner lot.
Yes. I'm familiar specifically with the property, so that part of it.
And on the other side of 12th, Southeast 12th, we're at the 1200 block. And we're out of the 900 area. As soon as you cross 12th, it's 900 on the same side.
That would be for addressing on 10th Avenue going south of 12th Street. But a lane is an east-west roadway. And so for that quadrant, they should not be in the
1100s. Well, now I heard the east-west, and I see the east-west, but also see Southeast 10th Lane angling off toward the south.
But a lane is when an address comes in, people start to formulate, where am I going to find this address?
Okay.
So the first thing you do is you look and you say, okay, a lane is an east-west roadway.
Okay.
And, you know, the address is odd or even, you're then making an assumption or making a conclusion as to what side of the road it will be on an east-west roadway. And then you're also looking at where in relation to north-south streets am I going to find this on this east-west roadway. So when you're looking for 1104 Southeast 10th Lane, you're going to begin looking for it east of 11th Avenue.
Okay, but you are still telling us that piece of street is still Southeast 10th Lane, according to the map I'm looking at?
Yes, and that happens time to time.
Well, how can it be Southeast 10th Lane when they go east and west? That certainly does not go east and west.
Not all roads are straight.
Well, I understand, but I mean, that's a long way from straight. I mean, we've turned a corner in excess of 90 degrees, if you think about it. And that's still Southeast 10th Lane.
It is.
Okay. Are there any other questions from the board of this?
This may sound kind of stupid, but I'm going to say it anyway. Now, if you take that road, depending on where that house is actually sitting there, and if you straighten it out, which would be to the north, or straighten it out, which would be the south, then is it odd or is it even?
It should be an odd number.
Each way?
No, if it was on the opposite side where the park is, any structures or addresses given on that side of the street would be even.
That house actually faces almost square to what is still shown in southeast Templana, pretty close to that.
Yeah, your physical address actually gives you like an XY coordinate of your location within the county. That's the whole point of the quadrant system.
Excuse me. It seems to me that if we made this a 90 degree and Mr. Futch's street went north and south, 1104 would be an appropriate number because it's before 12. Between 10 and 12 would be 11. I doubt we're going to have a whole lot of people get messed up odd and even because nobody on the other side of the street.
It appears to me that Southeast 10th Lane would in fact be an avenue at that point.
I would imagine if we changed Southeast 10th Lane to Southeast 10th Avenue, then the house number would be different.
Its definition is much closer to an avenue than it is to a lane by a direction.
But that would also require changing that segment of roadway, giving it an avenue designation.
Well, is it improperly labeled at this point in time? It's not east-west. It's just like we got to the address. Right. Somebody decided that that was 10th Lane.
A long time ago.
And it doesn't fit the definition that you're telling us of 10th Lane. I'm
we're working with what's there.
If we were to change the street designation,
still an address change.
Mr. and Mrs. Fudge would still have an address change because it would no longer be 1104 Southeast 10th Lane. It would be perhaps 1104 Southeast 10th Avenue.
Okay.
And we'd still be talking about it, right?
And we'd have to make new signs and go out and install new street signs as well.
Is there any more present? I'm sorry, I may have missed it. Did you swear in?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. I should have paid attention. I was here. Are there any more questions of this lady? Is there any further presentation from the local government agency?
Philip Azef, representing the City of Ocala Fire Rescue.
Can you raise right hand, please? Do you swear or affirm the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
According to the map, with the fire department training, everybody in Ocala Fire Rescue is trained on a quadrant grid system as the numbers get bigger. We understand there's always slight variances for curvatures in the road, which I think this fits the definition of a curvature. The road doesn't continue on. It basically stops at about a half a block. If 911 was to be dialed from that address, as you see in this map here, this is where the fire trucks and the rescue trucks would end up because of that address, the way it is, and the way the quadrant system is. It's more than likely going to even drive right by that address and go there, and there's going to be a time delay in response to any kind of emergency responder that responds to that house because of that mislabeled address, because the address shows it over here when it's actually over there. And I think in emergency situations, time is critical. If somebody's relative was having a heart attack or difficulty breathing, you'd want the fire rescue to get there as quick as possible. And that is probably going to delay them up to 2 or 3 minutes of driving around, contacting dispatch to find the correct address.
The X, what is the address of the X?
The X is the actual. Where in the grid system, where this house would be, the 1104, in the grid system would be somewhere right there.
1104 what?
So the southeast end lane.
But there's no 10th lane.
10th lane didn't know. There's no 10th lane there.
But
you're saying if there was.
If the grid system, the way the grid system works,
that's the area where they would go to, because that's the area where it would be. They would not come up here and drive Southeast 10th Lane to go the opposite direction to look for 1104. They'd be over in the 1100 section looking for 1104.
In your backup, I included the quadrant system explanation, and lanes fall within a certain area in the quadrant system. So they're trained on the quadrant system, so when they're looking for 1104 Southeast 10th Lane, 10th Lane doesn't need to exist. They're already going through what they understand to be the addressing standards to identify where it would be.
Okay.
And when they go out to find the 1104 Southeast 10th Lane, it doesn't exist where it would be based on the standards.
Okay.
And so now they've got to call dispatch and find out why they're not finding it where it would normally be if the standards had been applied properly.
Well, if they inherently, whether it be this 10th lane or not, if you get somewhere and there's, for instance, 3rd Street stops and mm-hmm. starts again, how do you overcome those issues? Well, for instance, there's no 10th lane on that side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
What prevents that from being, I mean, when you get there and the street isn't there, what do?
You end up driving around looking for it. You end up driving around in a circle looking for it, or you contact your dispatch to get better directions, which is ultimately going to put a time delay on the actual.
No, they dispatch it. Is there any method that effectively puts that on GPS?
I'm not sure how dispatch operates.
But I mean, when the men get in a truck and they're driving down the street, they're headed over to Mr. Fletcher's house because his wife stopped breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Do they rely on a verbal or somebody says this is the address, or there's no GPS on the screen of this truck that says
there is no GPS, so there is no maps on the truck to tell you exactly where it is.
Okay.
They give you an address, and the address will pop up on a computer screen and say go to this address, and they know by the training of the quadrant
system. It will pop up on a screen of the truck of the numbers and the address, and it will not show any
street
layout.
No, there is no map.
Okay.
There is no map. We don't have that technology yet.
Okay. I'm not working on technology, but our cars all seem to have it. I couldn't operate it, but nevertheless. Do you have any further comments, sir?
No, sir.
Are there any questions of this gentleman?
If they changed in front of Mr. Fudge's house, Southeast 10th Lane, that little portion of it, if they changed that to Southeast 10th Avenue, you'd show up at least across the street or in front of his house, correct?
More than likely, yes, sir.
Okay, so.
But that would also change his address, too.
Well, let's you know, skin the pig just one knife at a time. So the 10th Lane is really, 10th Lane being where it is really the problem, more so than Mr. Fudge's address, correct?
Well, if you think about it, 10th Lane,
let's
talk about changing the street.
If they change the street to 10th Avenue.
It effectively lines up as 10th Avenue with except you have to drive through his yard.
The address still would be incorrect because it would be 1104.
Okay.
I mean, it would still be like two blocks off.
Which means they would, if they change it, they would still drive by it and have to turn around and come back to it.
Okay. Are there any other questions of this gentleman? Is there any further presentation from any agency regarding the address change prior to the Mr. Fudge speaking? Thank you.
Bill Fudge, 1104 Southeast 10th Lane, California.
Do you swear from the evidence that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay.
The 911 system, can I ask you a question of this gentleman just to make sure I'm on the right
sure.
page here? The 911 system is the same for police, fire, ambulance, everybody, right?
I'm not sure. The police have their own dispatch, so things get transferred back and forth.
Okay, but it comes through the same 911 system?
Not mm-hmm. necessarily. Some calls go through PD, some calls go through the new combined dispatch of the county.
If I call 911, who do I get?
That's a good question. It could be the county, it could be the city.
I'm now more.
But I would, is somebody here could use that the criteria for this 911 would not change from one government agency to another. Is that accurate? Is that a fair question?
No, there's a good possibility that it will change.
This man is approaching the podium. Why don't we swear him in and let him, he might be able to answer that question for us.
I'm Carl Wiltz. I'm the director of public safety communications, which oversees 911
management and the dispatch center.
Can you raise your right hand? Okay. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
The criteria for the information on 911 and the quadrant system, am I correct in thinking that the criteria would not change no matter whether it's police, fire, sheriff, ambulance?
That is a correct statement.
Everybody operates with the same base of information, is that correct?
That's a correct statement.
Thank you. We'll let Mr. Fuchs continue. And would you like to add to something while you're up here?
Absolutely, and what I was going to do is follow up on the captain's comment that the dispatch from Ocala Police and the dispatch for the rest of the county are two different people. So depending on which map you're using or which unit you call, where you call from. Actually, you call within the city, it goes to OPD and then gets transferred to us.
But if I'm riding down the road and calling my cell phone to 911, I mean, who knows who's going to answer. But I mean, nevertheless, the criteria to determine that would not change from one agency to the other. In other words, the police wouldn't show up at one address being physically different than the fire department if the address were given to both of them as the same.
The maps in Ocala PD are different than the maps that we have in the county. Ocala PD has not updated their maps.
Okay.
In, I believe, about a year or so. They are in the process of doing that, but otherwise they would have the same map as us.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. We'll let Mr. Fuchs continue.
Thank you. The street address was established for this house in 1931 when it was built by the Craig. The street address used to be known as Pape Terrace. If you look at the little handout about terraces, they treat terraces as a north-south avenue. At some point in time, it was changed under the quadrant system to 10th Lane. For whatever reason, it could have been 10th Terrace at that point in time, and it would have been a north-south avenue address. So be that as it may, the history of that street is a terrace. There are four houses on Southeast 10th Lane in the middle of town. The property appraiser has it right. They don't have any problem finding my tax bill and sending it to me. It's shown as 1104. It's still on the property appraiser's website in that fashion. It runs north and south, as you've already determined on just looking at the map, so I've always treated it as more of an avenue. The other issue here is the concern seems to be so much under the quadrant system and treating this as an east-west street. If that were the case, then the house at the corner of Southeast 10th Lane and Southeast 11th Avenue should be 1000-something should be its address, because it's just west of 11th Avenue and it's east of 10th Avenue. Wouldn't that be in the 10 number rather than a 900 number? So I think it's a little bit disingenuous to say that the quadrant system makes this a 900 address. One of the main concerns seems to be the issue about emergency access and that for dispatch purposes. I'm amazed that there's no mapping system in any of these vehicles. I know, and I brought these up here for a reason, and if you have an iPhone or an iPad and pull up Google Maps, if you type in 1104 Southeast 10th Lane, boom, it's my house. You type in 909, and it's Trish Kilgore's house, which is at the corner of 11th Avenue and Southeast 10th Lane, so they'd show up at the wrong address using Google Maps. Same with Apple Maps, same with any GM product and their navigation system in the car. On top of that fact is, under the no good deed goes unpunished, we have French doors in the back of the house that necessitated this long drawn out appeal process. Went to Lowe's and acquired new vinyl clad doors because we were tired of replacing the wooden doors. Lowe's pulls a permit for everything they do, including door replacement. Not sure that's necessary, haven't checked, but they did go pull a permit, which necessitated a call to 911, which 911 then reestablished our address at 909. My wife, Beth, who's here tonight, found that out as well, which began my work. Other bad part about that is Lowe's ordered the wrong doors. So they came out to install our new doors, and I don't have new doors yet, but what they did do is damage my alarm system, causing some false alarms. And since the address change, we've had two. I have a police report for you that Officer Stacy Hunter, I'll hand these to you, we have one too. Stacy Hunter actually did come out on an emergency call, and if y'all can share it, I highlighted it at the bottom, but it's at the bottom of that page and the top of the page after. And Ms. Hunter drove right by the house because she couldn't find 909 and said if it was 1104, there would have been no problem call. Quite honestly, I'm more concerned about the police department getting out of my house in a rapid fashion than either fire or an ambulance service. The alarm went off last Tuesday night at 1:30 in the morning. I was the only person in the house. Turned all the lights on, made sure there was no break-in. Here comes the police. I'm standing out on my front porch and with all the lights on and watched them drive right by my house and all the way up to 9th Avenue. They were looking for a house in the 900 block of 10th Lane, which had been adjacent to 9th Avenue. So if you carry on their idea of 1104 is on the other side of 11th Avenue, then 909 10th Lane is going to be barely off of 9th Avenue, which is Lake Weir Avenue, which that's not true either. Long story short is the change of address to a homeowner involves a substantial expense. Passports, visas, driver's license, certificates of title, all your insurance, voter registration, hours and hours of work, time and money. You have to pay for all those new driver's licenses and passports. And it's a problem that doesn't exist. There's four houses on 10th Lane. Anywhere on 10th Lane, if a fire department comes, I'm good with. If the ambulance comes, I'll run out the street and find them. There's no issue here. There hasn't been an issue here. And apparently the address was changed for some rule, but it's a rule that doesn't make any sense in this circumstance. There's no street like this in the city of Ocala that goes directly east and west and directly north and south. So I believe our address is fine. It's been fine for 80-something years now, and it should stay the same. Thanks. Any questions?
Anyone on the board have questions for Mr. Fletcher?
You're happy with the way it is now?
At 1104 Southeast.
Assume the risk that the pizza guy goes to the wrong place.
If he goes to the wrong place, I'll bear that risk. I would rather the police department show up at my house at the right address, and I've had two experiences in the last 2 weeks where they didn't.
Where did they get their information?
From the 911 service, as far as I know.
I see.
Because that's who alarm dispatch will call.
Oh, okay.
Right. They immediately call 911 when it's an instant.
And so, in reality, apparently I've called 911 very few times, but you seem to never know who you're talking to for a while, and then they want to talk to you forever. But anyway, are there any further questions of Mr. Fletcher?
Are there any, I don't know if you know the answer to this, Bill, but are there any other, like in the 500 street number for Southeast 10th Lane to 1200 or so?
No. The only other ones, and here's the property appraiser's website.
Exactly.
Are four.
There's just four. Here.
The other ones are at 3900 and 6300, so they're out by Baseline Road. They're way out. There's nothing.
So there's literally only four houses in this central Ocala area, historic district, whatever you want to call it, for Southeast 10th Lane?
Absolutely.
So if they're going to find, if emergency responders are going to, they're going to look for Southeast 10th Lane. They're not going to be obsessed, like, with the house number. Is that your contention?
Well, absolutely. That's what I would think. Because if you have a 909 number based upon their rationale, they're going to go look up right off of 9th Avenue in the 10th Street range. Mm-hmm. And there's, that's not
and that lane doesn't
going to show up. If you go on your, if you go on your iPad or iPhone or something and pull up an Apple map or pull up a Google map and you type in 909, you get Trish Kilgore. If you type in 1104, you get my house.
Is that literally her address?
Huh?
Is that literally her address?
No, her address is 940 now.
But you get her?
But I get her for some reason.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
So,
Excuse me, Mr. Fletcher, the other homes on your street, what's their numbers?
They're in the 900 block, which also doesn't make any sense because if it is an east-west street, is what I'm hearing, that's the way it's supposed to be treated. Those homes are at least lined up with 10th Avenue, so they're between 10th Avenue and 11th Avenue.
So they would have a 10.
Which would be a 10 number. if it's treated as a street.
That's what you said.
We're all, I have canvassed my other three neighbors. We're all fine just the way it is. If you call it A, you know, House A on 10th Lane and House B and House C, we're fine. It's just the four houses.
So this could cause those other three people to show up down here too, right?
Yeah, if we start changing stuff, they'll all be here too.
Well, you know, regarding Mr. Futch's discussion about the problems that it brings on, this is our second case of this matter. I have a family member whose homeowner's insurance was canceled for this very reason. And had a difficult time getting it replaced, but nevertheless, so there's a lot of, these, changing the number on the house reaches a long way out. Any other questions, Mr. Futch?
Chairman, so your change was triggered by a building permit?
An application for a permit to put in.
So these other three of the four residences on Southeast 10th Lane have not received an address change, or maybe you don't know the answer to that?
Not as of about a week and a half ago.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Futch.
Thank you.
Did I see that someone is raising their hand from the city/county/911? I assume it's appropriate that we do this again.
I was just curious if the Futches had corrected their house number 2909. I think that the police would have located them when they came to locate their residence if that correct house number had been posted.
Well, when you drive by that house, have you driven by the house?
Yes, I have.
You know, physically, the house number faces somewhat to the north and to the east. I'm familiar with that. Okay, we have several families that live reasonably close to that. Do you have any other input?
I do not.
Is there anyone else from an agency who wants to? Is there anyone in the public who would like to speak to this issue in the audience? Apparently not. Board?
I move that we overturn the change of address and leave Mr. Futch alone.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Juergens?
Aye.
Mr. Rogers?
Aye.
Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Mr. Moses?
Aye.
Mr. Roos?
Aye.
Mr. Futch, you can continue to use your address. Is this case number SC-13-0006?
Yes, it is. I'm Mike Daniels with the City Growth Management Department.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I'm here to present staff comments for a proposed special exception to allow a wellness center in an R3 zoning district. The property is located at 819 Northwest 7th Street. As you can see from this picture, it's actually three different parcels. The two easternmost parcels are owned by Arthur and Carolyn Adams, and the third parcel is owned by the city. However, the city has entered into a property donation agreement with the Adams, whereby if the property is approved for the special exception, they will deed the property to the Adams for the development of a neighborhood wellness center. The property has a future land use of neighborhood, and it has a zoning of R3 multifamily residential. I have here the definition of a wellness center. A wellness center means a building or a portion of a building that provides neighborhood residents basic health care, services screening, specializing in preventing illnesses in prolonging life. Now, in terms of the genesis as to why this was an ordinance change that we added back in January 2013, and this came about as a result of the approval of the West Ocala Community Plan, which occurred in December 2011. Now, the neighborhood community plan was done with a lot of community involvement, and one of the key questions that we asked is, what are the biggest needs in West Ocala, and what are the goals in the future? And one of the top five needs was the idea of providing accessible medical care within the West Ocala neighborhood. One of the big issues that kept coming up during those public meetings was the idea that folks in the West Ocala area have a higher proportion of folks that don't have access to a vehicle. And as a result, a lot of the preventative health care needs are often overlooked until there's an emergency situation. So there was a real emphasis on trying to provide more medical services in the West Ocala area. Now, as part of the special exception process, I outlined in my staff report the special exception code requirements, which address issues such as access, parking, location of garbage pickup, landscape buffering for adjacent properties. In addition to that, with the approval of the wellness center, there are also code requirements for the approval of a wellness center, which are somewhat similar to some of the requirements for a special exception. However, there's also issues such as ensuring that the wellness center is located indoors, and it also gets into the fact that the building elevation for the wellness center must be compatible with the residential area, and it's required as part of the approval of the special exception. In addition, if the wellness center special exception is approved, the applicant will need to go through the city's site plan process and formally submit a site plan, which will be removed administratively by city staff. Now, in your packet, the applicant submitted this site plan, which shows the wellness center, and it shows the parking area as well as the drainage retention area. Now, I had a couple of comments. I had recommended approval with a couple of conditions relating to ensuring that the layout of the site is consistent with the residential character of the surrounding properties. The applicant has since revised their site plan, and what they're showing on the revised site plan is they've moved the building up towards Northwest 7th Street. There isn't any parking in the front yard. They've moved all the parking to the side. And again, the idea behind that is to be consistent with the residential character of single-family developments, where you have a 25-foot setback and you have green space in the front, and then you have your parking area in the side of the site. They've also reduced the total number of parking in the area. Again, the idea behind a neighborhood wellness center is it's not the same as a medical office. The idea is not primarily to address, you know, every time you have a cold or cough or something like that. It's really to address long-term preventative health care needs. And Mr. and Mrs. Adams are in attendance, and they can explain that further. But the idea is for them not to have the amount of impact, the amount of traffic as a medical office or a medical clinic would have. It's much more in line with, for example, if you're familiar with the neighborhood wellness center that's located in Leonardo Estates, which is located on the east side of the city near Fort King, about 44th Avenue. But as you see on the plan, they're showing that the building here, they're showing access off of Northwest 7th Street, and they're showing 9 parking spaces, which is consistent with the requirements for a wellness center, and they're showing a retention pond in the rear of the site. Now, they will have to formally submit and go through the site plan process and ensure that all the code requirements are met. As I mentioned before, as part of the approval of a neighborhood wellness center, they did have to meet the requirement that the proposed building of the site would need to be compatible with the residential area. Now, this building is actually the sales office for Summer Glen, which is located down State Road 200 and near State Road 484. Now, Summer Glen is actually looking at
splitting this into a number of lots and selling it off as a single-family home, so they were going to remove this building. The Adams, as well as the city, have been in discussions with Summer Glen about trying to take this building, which is a modular, it's actually a triple wide, and relocating it to Northwest 7th Street on the site that the Adams are proposing to do the Wellness Center. And that's currently ongoing, and we're working with a number of different contractors to make that happen. With that, staff recommends approval of case 13-6, subject to the following conditions. The first two conditions related to the location of the building and reducing the amount of parking have been met with the most recent submittal. So that would leave the following conditions, which are that the special exception shall run with the property. The special exception shall become void if a building permit for construction of an office building is not issued within 5 years of this approval, and that the site plan shall comply with requirements as set forth in the city's land development code. Okay. With that, are there any questions?
You're proposing, what is the required parking for the building?
The required parking is one space per 600 square feet.
So what does that translate to?
Nine spaces.
One of the things I thought I read in here is to reduce the parking. Mm-hmm. Are we reducing the required parking?
Well, we are reducing the required parking. That was my condition of approval. And if you go back to the initial site plan that they submitted, they had, I believe, over 20 parking spaces. And that's what they've come in, and they've reduced it down to nine spaces.
That was not a city requirement. That was their own wishes, for lack of a better description.
Yeah, and you know, it was a situation where, you know, I've been working with the Adams for a number of years on the project, and, you know, when you know, it was explained exactly what we're looking to do, that there was no issue from the Adams in terms of...
I guess my curiosity is, perhaps I don't fully understand the Wellness Center, maybe I will before the evening's over, but typically any medical-based operation is consumed with large amounts of parking because of large amounts of staff and a fairly high turnover rate of patients. What form of staff is in them? Are these medical professionals that are in this facility?
There are medical professionals, but again, the idea behind it is that the idea behind a neighborhood wellness center is that it's going to serve the needs of the neighborhood. It's not going to be a traditional doctor's office in the sense that you're going to have people coming in for kind of day-to-day colds and flu-like symptoms. The idea behind a preventative healthcare center is that they're going to be coming in for, you know, wellness checkups, for, you know, yearly shots and things like that, more for long-term preventative care, not for kind of the everyday type of illnesses.
How do you intend to manage who comes and for what reason they come? I mean, assuming it were, you know, medical, you know, that covers a huge territory. I mean, whoever sees fit to drive in, then park and go in, that would have a medical issue, question, some need, it certainly would occur, would it not?
And again, I can let the Adams explain a little bit further about that. But, you know, again, that's one of the reasons why we did want to reduce the parking, because we didn't want to create a situation where this is a medical office, because a medical office wouldn't be allowed.
Is a wellness center defined by City of Ocala definition, or is this something that might be occurred anywhere in the state of Florida, for instance? Is this the title wellness center, where does it come from?
Well, you know, basically it is the City of Ocala definition.
Okay.
And, you know, what we tried to do, again, in the definition is try to make a distinction between a neighborhood wellness center and a typical medical office, medical clinic type of facility.
Okay. Any further questions for staff? Thank you.
Yes, I do have one. I'm sorry. You said that this special exception is only good for 5 years?
Yeah, well, what I mean is they need to pull the building permit within five years.
Within 5 years.
So if they don't pull a building permit, yeah, then the special exception would be
known. And this would stay with the property. In the event they open this facility and for some reason the ownership changed, the special exception would not go away. It would continue to function under this definition.
Yeah. Do they have to, once they pull the permit, do they have to start building, or do they pull the permit?
It's pull the permit. They need to pull the permit.
If you don't act,
we can add, you know, that can be an additional requirement.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Excuse me.
One more. The wellness center definition is in the Code of Ordinances for zoning?
Yes.
Is that where it is?
Yes, the Wellness Center was added as a permitted use with, well, added as a special exception in the R3 zone back in January of this year.
And the land use, this neighborhood umbrella use category, this fits?
Yes, yes. In the neighborhood land use, there's a number of different, you know, it's predominantly residential. It needs to be residential in character, but we do allow non-residential uses as well as commercial uses.
Okay, thank you.
Would the applicant like to speak?
I'm Carolyn Adams, and what else do you need to know?
What's your address?
The address is 10423 Southwest 45th Avenue, Ocala, Florida.
Okay, raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. The Neighborhood Wellness Center is actually a project that we've been working on for a number of years. And what we've gotten to this point where we now feel that with Summer Glen donating a building to us, which is perfect to put on the property, the Wellness Center would actually be perfect for a community that for a number of years, and they still do, people wait until the last minute and then they call 911 to actually go to Monroe or whatever emergency room is there for treatment. And the treatment sometimes can be hypertension, it could be diabetes, bone disease, a number of things. And we are there in order to help the individuals out. That's why we want the neighborhood center. They can come in, we can do immunizations, we can treat or control their diabetes, treat or control their hypertension, or other things that might be going on with them. And the other thing is having a complete bicycle rack there so they can actually ride their bicycles or rather than, you know, walk. Or the many people there, what they do is they pay other individuals to take them over to the heart of Florida. And then many times they can't get back over there for follow-up from this neighborhood, so they don't go for follow-up. And they're at a loss, and it could be a wound, whatever, but nevertheless, they're not followed up. And then when all of a sudden it gets worse, they're back to the emergency room. And you don't need these individuals sitting in the emergency room because you're going to sit for hours waiting on something that can be taken care of in the wellness clinic. We're going to have, there will be a physician, there will be two nurse practitioners, there will be a coder and an office manager. And
oh,
any
a
other
coder.
Questions?
Okay.
Yeah, definitely a coder. You know, that's a big thing right now, is having a coda, so we don't make any mistakes as far as insurance issues and things like that.
Well, let's say they have a cold. Would they show up there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or minor injury?
Yes. Yes, we can treat minor injury.
So in many cases, it would serve the same needs as a physician's office that just might be less convenient. Is that correct?
It'd be, yes. Yes. And the individuals cannot get there, they cannot get where they need to be. So there will be a neighborhood, a clinic in their own neighborhood, and they can walk there.
So it's a function of convenience, accessibility.
Yeah.
The staff that provides this medical care will in fact be professional staff members who in fact will be governed by various agencies who determine their competence and capabilities and conduct, just like you would anywhere else.
You will have licensed practitioners, and you will have a medical physician. The University of Florida has actually, and that's where I graduated from, actually will give us two nurse practitioners, and they will have students come in also. But they have contracted with in-kind services to have their nurse practitioners come into the clinic. They have the same clinic in the Archer area. I don't know whether you've seen that clinic in Archer, but it's the same concept. The University of Florida runs that clinic in Archer, and they're going to do the same for us.
So this is a daytime operation?
Yes.
So we're like 8 to 5 or whatever.
Eight to six.
Okay. Uh-huh. Are there any other questions of the applicant? Mr. Rich?
You said you're going to have a physician, two nurses, a coder, and a manager?
Yes.
That just took up five of the parking places.
We have parking space. We can put them someplace else.
Where can we put them someplace else?
We can actually put them over at our church.
Stacky corner.
Church has a huge parking lot over there.
It says in here, a neighborhood wellness center shall not include the type of outpatient procedures or concentrate care testing that occurs in a medical office or clinic. It seems from listening here, that's exactly and precisely what they intend to do. So we're going to, this is going to be a code violation before it gets off the ground.
I'd like to ask a question of staff.
Sure.
While you're, how did the parking issue got to, I mean, obviously they've just defined most of the parking's gone. I mean, what governs this? Because we always took some parking away in order to maintain, and we have this significant area behind here that I suppose could be, nevertheless, how did we get there? Because it does appear that the parking, if two or three people show up in a car, the place is overloaded. And I mean, if we're just going to move them across the street in order to meet this criteria, that seems a little bit strange.
You know, again, the primary issue with this area of town is that the majority of the patients that are going to be coming to this center are going to be pedestrian. You know, they're going to be people that are either riding their bikes or walking to the clinic. That's why, you know, we have the requirement that it's 1 per 600. Now, if it gets to the point where we have people parking everywhere and it basically ends up functioning, as Mr. Roos said, you know, like a medical office where people are coming in every hour and all of that, then that's not, you know, that's not meeting the intent of what this facility was for. Not to say that people couldn't come in for a cold, but the intent is for people to come in for screening, for things so that they can prevent the long-term issues from coming up.
And I find personally very supportive of that situation, but the truth is people will come there for medical treatment however they see fit and however they can, and there won't be any way to manage that. I mean, if they show up, what are you going to do with them? They're there. Nobody's going to be sitting out there to manage it. Fact that we're providing medical care within the community area, I think, is certainly very positive.
We will definitely treat them. And the one of the Karen Clark Jones of the Heart of Florida supports this theory 100% and wish we were there yesterday to really help her out, because Carrie feels that over 3,000 patients that are now coming to the Heart of Florida and getting kind of pushed aside one way or the other can be really be served by us immediately.
Do you think it's that you realistically can manage this traffic issue? I mean, what are you going to do when they show up? I mean, they're there. You're not going to ask them to leave.
If they show up, they're going to be treated. The physician is licensed.
Oh, I don't mean that, but I mean,
the practitioners are licensed.
If you get there and there's 18 cars somewhere in the driveway, the parking lot, what are you going to do? I mean, you can't
treat them.
Huh?
Treat them. You mean if they're lined up, 18 cars?
Well, I mean, you don't have a place to park them.
Well, we're going to actually schedule them, schedule them so that won't be 18 cars lined up, most definitely.
Well,
I mean, all of a sudden, if they show up, I mean, we're going to have to address that, but they're going to be scheduled accordingly.
Well, I think you're going to, I mean, in reality, I don't know whether you're going to be faced with that in varying degrees, period.
There's
nothing you can do to stop it.
No.
Gentlemen, you would need to state your name and swear
in. My name is Arthur Adams. I am the husband of Mrs. Adams, partially responsible for the creation and the concept of this clinic.
Excuse me.
Okay.
If you will just swear in, you may continue your presentation, sir.
Do you swear or affirm the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
One of the things that happened with the Heart of Florida when they came here, they came here with an idea, and they got a lot of help because the idea had not been created here. They got a lot of financial assistance. We, on the other hand, have got no financial assistance. We have purchased the land with our personal monies. We donated the land to this Ellsberg Whitman Wellness and Community Resources Center. The Tucker Hill community has been there for more than 150 years, never had a facility like this. We went around, we talked to the residents, we did a survey, we met with Kerry Clark Jones, who supported it. I talked with Dr. Nathan Grossman before he left here. He supported it. He said he wished that we had come to him before he actually left his post. I've talked to the CEOs of all the hospitals. They recognize how it's going to help them, because a person with a treatable condition that does not require hospitalization, that is not life-threatening, can be treated in the community along with other persons from other communities, because they're going to come there. And what we concentrated on was the fact that the traffic that's going to be coming will either be on bicycles, they'll be in wheelchairs, they'll be on scooters. They will not have the monies to pay individuals to bring them to the clinic. That we have already substantiated. And what we are is that go-between, is the go-between. The churches around the area have done what they can do. Everybody says shortfall of money to ascertain that we get where we're trying to go. Mayor Quinn offered us another piece of land to utilize to ascertain that we will have enough land to do what we need to do. St. Paul AME Church has said, because of what you're doing, and we know that you have actually bore a lot of expenses on your own, we will make available our parking.
Are they adjacent to you?
Yes.
Okay. You know, not to cut you short, sir, there is no resistance to your mission. And the only thing, as this individual board member's reaction to it, is that I think that the parking and traffic criteria is wishful thinking. Now, that's not to say this can't happen. I'm not here, because obviously your goal is to provide something that's certainly needed at Noble. I can't find anything but positive about that. But one of our responsibilities as this board is to determine suitability. And anything, irregardless of how good it is, we have some responsibility to the neighbors around that and their quality of life, too. That's the basis for our questions, I think. That probably ends my comment. Mr. Reese, has your question been answered satisfactorily?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing but positive support for this, except when the parking gets to be a problem.
But literally, this church is across the street from you. Literally, somebody could park in that church parking lot and walk across the street to your facility. Okay. And they have, without a doubt, obviously.
Well, I don't think we ought to make parking a problem before it gets to be a problem.
There's no solution.
Well, once it occurs, but I mean, they apparently have a.
Wait a minute.
Excuse me.
I don't think we ought to make it a problem before it becomes a problem. What we are suggesting, that 9 parking spaces won't seem to be enough. It becomes a service, and we recognize a lot more people are probably going to access that service, and the parking seems to be available to service the group. Now, our problem is there a way we can have a condition to ask them to deal with expanding their parking to take care of the possibility if parking needs to be expanded?
You know, I have a question of staff. In a sense, I know you want the neighborhood issue. Well, the way it's laid out, if the parking were, some of it were behind that building, would you feel like that had a negative impact on the neighborhood?
No.
Because, I mean, when they park across the street there, they're going to be parked somewhere. I don't think this goal is not to stop this. This is to try to start it off in such a way that it doesn't produce a problem that you have to deal with on a later basis. Now, the parking issue, I would tend to allow the city to work that out. I would encourage you, I think, to allow some more parking on that facility as long as it is hidden by either landscaping or behind that building.
And that's certainly something that we can do either as part of the site plan process or have a condition added that if parking is a problem, that additional parking is a problem.
You know, it appears to me, and I'll say that we have certainly heard the presentation of all the pluses, and they're there. Is there any reason the board can't address this at this point?
Move approval.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a second. Call the roll, please.
I have one more question.
Can we do that after the motion's made? Huh? Go.
There's nothing mentioned about any type of pharmacy. Is there going to be pharmaceuticals on the premises giving out to the people, or are they going to have to go to a drugstore?
We plan to do pharmaceuticals. Yes, the physicians and the nurse practitioners are licensed to do that.
I know, when you go to the typical doctor's office, they give you a sample.
You know, the medications are important. A lot of people can't get the medications. Yes, we will be doing medications, and we'll be contracting with various pharmaceutical companies. They, once you open up a clinic of some form, the pharmaceutical companies will follow you for you to use their samples or whatever else.
Yeah, they have their samples, but you're not going to have, like...
Yeah, but it will be locked down. Everything will be locked down for sure.
Okay. That's like
one, one last statement. One of the reasons we decided we would do pharmaceuticals is I had a meeting with Charles Powell at the center. And in our conversation, he said, Mr. Adams, you know, one of the problems we face with a lot of our patients is we are so far away that they have no way to get here to get their medication. And then they end up being brought back by the police department. We wish we had some way to alleviate that. He said, you're coming, opening at the clinic. If my wife is a psychiatric mental health specialist, okay. She ran a hospital.
Well,
so,
sir,
you know, it's going to serve him also.
Not, I suppose I am interrupting. You have a motion to approve your plan.
Okay.
And I think if we can call the roll, you will not have to make further presentation, sir.
We've approved it already.
Would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Juergens?
Aye.
Mr. Moses?
Aye.
Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Mr. Rogers?
Aye.
Mr. Roos?
Aye.
You may get to work.
Thank you.
You're welcome. SC130009?
Yes, sir. I will consider myself still sworn. Patricia Hitchcock, Cityville Cali Growth Management Department. This is a request of Crystal Churchill for approval of an indoor recreation facility in the M1 zoning district. The property is located at 2730 Southwest 3rd Place, units 103 and 104. The building was constructed as a warehouse slash office building, and about half of the building is presently occupied by the property's owner, City Electric Supply Company. Ms. Churchill proposes to operate a personal training studio with four or five trainers. They work with a ratio of one trainer per two clients at any one time. The issue that required some consideration really had to do with parking. The property, when it was built with significantly more parking than the warehouse office use would have required. There are 30 parking spaces on site. City Electric Supply, open during normal business hours, would utilize 11 parking spaces. If I were to look at this use as a fitness facility, similar to many of the other facilities around town where you buy a membership, you go at whatever time you wish to use their equipment, that would require just a fitness facility to have 32 parking spaces. But that is not how this use operates. Now there's more of a focus on working with a trainer to make sure that you're doing the exercises properly and for what is appropriate for your physical needs. As such, with five trainers working with no more than two clients at a time, that would generate a need for 15 parking spaces. Their peak hour time is between 5:30 and 7:30 in the evening, Monday through Thursday, when City Electric Supply is closed, so they would have access to all 30 parking spaces. Given that this is a special exception, we've recommended approval and included some conditions of approval to make sure that it does operate as it has been outlined in the application, with the condition of approval being that the special exception is granted to this applicant, Crystal Churchill, for units 103 and 104 only, that the approval is granted for the personal training studio operated with a low trainer to client ratio, such that there are never more than 19 persons in the studio during the 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. period when City Electric Supply may be open using 11 spaces, therefore a demand for 30 parking spaces perhaps. And then after 5 p.m., they would be limited to no more than 30 persons. I think that's really very conservative because with the low client-to-trainer ratio, it's possible you may have a husband and wife or siblings or friends who come in the same vehicle, but I took a conservative approach here. However, should they see a change in their operation, if they wanted to come back to the board and either utilize off-site parking agreement within 300 feet or to provide a parking demand study that showed that a number of their clients were coming in the same vehicle, we could entertain a change in the number of persons at any given hour. And we recommend that a business tax certificate be obtained for the use within 12 months of this approval or the special exception would become void. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Has the landlord been contacted and is on board with this?
Yes, sir. The landlord signed the application, and that's a point I did want to reinforce, that with the landlord also being the only other tenant in the building, I feel very confident that they have the ability and the authority to address any parking issues.
The landlord is City Electric?
Yes, sir.
And what is the reason for the business about a tax certificate to impose that for us to impose that as a condition?
Typically, there's a time frame that the board would say that the special exception needed to commence or it would become void. That's one of the criteria in the special exception portion of the code. And so a business tax certificate is required.
This occupational license?
Yeah.
So due to the fact that you assume no construction is going to occur, there wouldn't be any permit pulled, so therefore that's your criteria to determine this, in fact, is going to happen.
They will be doing some interior renovations.
Right. I mean,
it could just as easily be tied to a building permit.
Any other questions of staff? Thank you. Would the applicant like to speak?
I'm Crystal Churchill, 9390 Northeast 16th Terrace, Anthony, Florida, 32617.
Raise your right hand.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay.
I just wanted to stress that it's by appointment only. It's not a membership gym. So we have two full-time employees, three part-time. Two of the part-time are night only from the 5:30 to 7:30 block, which is our busiest area. But yeah, it's not, there are not people coming in if they don't have an appointment. If they do come in asking about what we do, we give them a card and they go on their way. We don't, they don't stay for a long time.
Are there any questions for the applicant from the board members?
Mr. Chairman, so you haven't executed any lease yet, I presume, with the property owner, or you have?
I have, with a contingency that I get approved.
Is there specific, just curious if there's specific language in that document, if it does exist, about the parking and what you would be utilizing?
There is none in the lease. They didn't. They knew about what I was doing and they signed it, but yeah, there's nothing. I went and talked to the, City Electric Supply.
So possibly they weren't concerned enough to put it in the lease, which maybe is a favorable statement in your behalf.
Right, yeah.
Maybe.
We told them they are aware that we are going there.
Or they weren't paying attention, one or the other.
I mean, they didn't ask. I did tell that we were just a...
Well, they might have been a little bit careful. I'm sure that if you impede their ability to do business, they'll speak to you about it.
Yeah.
And I suppose at that point, it'll be between you and them.
Yes.
Any other questions of the applicant? One.
Probably doesn't have anything to do with this, but do you guys have showers in those kind of facilities there?
We do not.
Because I'm looking for a new gym, so I'm kind of wondering.
We are putting one in. The landlord, you know, said we could go on. So we do plan to put one in, but okay. We don't add them right now.
Okay.
But yeah, come see us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak to this issue? Come forward, please, sir. If you will state your name, address, and swear in, please, sir.
Steve Herring, 275 Southwest 28th Avenue. 911 just changed my address.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I have the building just adjacent, across the street from this particular piece of property. The reason I came here tonight was primarily for the fact I didn't know what was going in here. The notice of public hearing says a recreation facility, period. I've worked on some recreation facilities recently where there's 100, 125, 150 people doing all kinds of gymnastics and et cetera. This is it's a commerce park. There's limited parking over there. And I was kind of afraid that something would be going in there that would be disruptive to my business and create a situation that was not conducive to what we have over there. I'm listening to what they're saying, and based upon what they're saying, I really don't have a problem with it, except for the fact here's a certain amount of people that are going to be here during the daytime, a certain amount of people here at nighttime. It's a limited facility. But what happens in a year from now if business is really good and all of a sudden they decide to change it to something else? Once you say it's recreational, they can do basically whatever they want to do.
Well, the criteria of this now, they have spelled out what they do. And that will be a function of their special exception. Mm-hmm. And in reality, they could probably do whatever they wanted to do unless it created a problem that would define that they were outside of the criteria of their special exception. In other words, they can't change the business plan to a different, other than defined by the special exception.
Okay, so the special exception, would it have a limitation on the number of people that could go in there or the amount of parking that would be accessible?
It does. That's been defined so far.
Okay, like I said, I didn't know what this was all about as far as the facility. That's why I'm here tonight.
Mm-hmm. If it operates as described, are you
Have a problem with it whatsoever if it's utilize the way they're describing it.
Mr. Richard.
Mr. Herring, I'd suggest that about next week you call the clerk's office and get the disc for tonight's meeting, the recording, and throw it up in your library. And if you get unhappy with something going on downstream, you play the disc and see what everybody said.
That's fine. Like I said, to me it was just more clarification.
They said what they were going to do and they did it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Herring. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak to this issue? Do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second. One and a second. We have a motion and a second. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Roos?
Yes.
Mr. Williamson?
Yes.
Mr. Juergens?
Yes.
Mr. Moses?
Yes.
Your lease is now effective.
The next item is a special exception, SE 13-0010. Patricia Hitchcock on behalf of the Ocala Growth Management Department, and I am still sworn. This is a request for a church in a B3C zoning district, which does require a special exception. The proposed location is at 343 Northeast 1st Avenue. It would be in Unit A. And this property consists of about three buildings. The largest building is about 20,000 square feet. There's a small 360 square foot building in the center of the parking lot that appears to be vacant right now. And there's a 10,000 square foot building that's home to Lester's Garage, a paint and body detail shop. In 1996, the Board of Adjustment granted a special exception for Unit B for a church in that location. And that church was the Calvary Christian Fellowship. And over the years, a number of churches have occupied that space. Quite often when we write conditions of approval, we'll say that, you know, the special exception is granted to this particular applicant. Sometimes it runs with the land. Clearly, by looking at the history of the occupancy of this building, the city has viewed Unit B as the special exception for Unit B as running with the land, because none of these churches have ever gone back for special exception approval. It's all been in, their occupancy has been approved under the 1996 special exception. So we've had the Abundant Life Christian Assembly there, Doxa Church, and presently Morningstar Church occupies that space. The applicant, City Church, has come in and asked, this is Unit B where Morningstar Church is, and they've come in and asked to occupy Unit A, which is next door, which was previously home to the radio station WMOP. On its face, I initially was very concerned having two churches side by side on this property. There are 54 parking spaces in front of the building. Lester's Garage area is fenced off, so there were no spaces there to count. But in speaking with them, Morningstar Church and City Church have been working cooperatively. In fact, City Church has been using Morningstar's facility while they look for a home. Morningstar Church has services on Saturdays. City Church has services on Sundays. So based on that, I was comfortable that that they would be able to work together in order to not have a parking problem. But I wanted to make sure that, you know, as times change, if Morningstar Church were to move out and another church now wants to go into Unit B, if we continue to treat it as an approval that ran with the land, then we could get another church in there that wanted to meet on Sundays, and now I've got City Church and Future Church both meeting on Sundays. So I crafted some conditions of approval that that City Church and Morningstar Church can occupy these spaces, continue to work cooperatively, do their scheduling so that they're not utilizing the parking at the same time. But if one of them were to cease operating in that unit and a new church is interested, then at that time they would need to come back for a special exception so we can look at the specifics of how Future Church would operate to make sure that it would be compatible with whichever church is remaining on the site. Morningstar Church, by virtue of the 1996 special exception, is limited to 150 seats. So I recommended limiting City Church to 150 seats. And again, in order to provide a time frame, I suggested a business tax certificate to be obtained within 12 months of this approval. It would be a no-fee license. Would be a no-fee license.
Question.
Yes,
the initial special exception that allows the church that's currently operating now, was that special exception go with the land or the church?
It was not clear. When I read through the minutes, it was not clear. However, when I look at what my predecessors have been approving in that location, we have established a number of churches there without them going back through the special exception process. Calvary Christian Fellowship was the first church approved in 1996. I'm not sure when they moved out, because at the time, we now require no-fee business licenses for churches so that we've got some record. But back in 96, the city didn't do that. So I have no record as to when they went in and when they left. But in looking at the electric utility accounts, Abundant Life Christian Assembly was there roughly between 2002 and 2008. Doxa Church was there, I estimate, between 2010 and 2012. I think they moved to that location when their location on 3rd Street flooded with some of the heavy rains we were having. And then Morning Star began occupying Unit B in February of 2013.
Well, it appears that the city has taken the position that the special exception must go with the property and the owner of the property. So I would assume that his benefit, he would expect to be able to continue that irregardless of what any other church did or any other entity at all did.
I spoke with the owner today because, yes, this does impact, this does change how we will look at that space being occupied in the future. But if we are not able to look at going forward, if Morningstar moves out and another church comes in, if we do not have the ability to look at how future church will operate in that space, I'm not comfortable recommending approval of a second church in Unit A.
Well, based on the criteria that we have currently used, it would be very difficult to tell that owner that he could not place another church in his facility. Is that not correct?
I'm recommending that as a condition of the approval of this particular special exception on this property with the common ownership, that it's understood that we can have Morningstar Church and we can have City Church, but if one of them moves out, the next church has to come through the special exception process so that we can make sure that they are as compatible as City Church and Morningstar Church.
Both facilities have the same owner?
Yes.
So the potential is, if one of those churches left and another church came in, I'm not sure I'd have to think about that. It appears that you can back yourself in a corner and have no way out.
The Morningstar meets on Saturdays. So if Morningstar moves out and another place of worship is interested in going there and their services are on Saturday, you know, staff would recommend approval. If a place of worship came in that also wanted to have services on Sundays, they don't have enough parking.
So apparently in either case, the owner would not lose his ability to have a church there.
Yes, I agree.
Is that correct?
Yes. They may have to go through the special exception process.
I'd like to hear Mr. Reese's question and comment.
Let's be honest. You guys, the staff, doesn't monitor the hours of the churches. We approved one out there at that round theater out there, and it was only supposed to be sometime or another, some godforsaken time, and I see it there all the time. And so you really don't do it. You know, I'm not comfortable with burdening this new church and the property owner with kind of a gotcha to get us out of a jam that we got ourselves into because we weren't paying attention to what's going on. Maybe we learn from that and move down the road. The element that I see in here that I don't think that this neighborhood needs is we ought to ensure that we restrict it against the dispensing of soup kitchen business, food to transients coming through the neighborhood. You know, churches do that. That's their mission. But that this neighborhood is very sensitive. It's just now starting to get a heartbeat going, getting a little office in there. And we don't need to burden that neighborhood and the neighbors with another soup kitchen. And you know, that's my concern with the stuff. And you know, I really feel that you talk to those people, you walk down there and you talk to Mrs. Foster who's going in there, and she's the brightest light that's come to that neighborhood in a long time. You talk to the Amstons, you know, who are over there, you know, they acknowledge that they're pushed by people that are going for free services around there. And that's my concern on this. And how do we address it if we want it?
Yeah, and you're right. We don't monitor. It comes up. A lot of times I write a condition of approval so that if there is a complaint, we've got something we can go investigate and say, you know, you're in violation of special exception.
And I feel particularly with churches that, you know, that, okay, you're going to, because the churches can come in there and they're going to, you know, I've stumbled through this for a long time and the church says, oh, well, we're just going to have our Wednesday night services, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's restrict this thing to just Wednesday night. Well, you know, on Tuesday night we have the Tonto event, mm-hmm. you know, okay, we do that. And on Thursday night, you have, and pretty soon it's a 7-day weekend. I'm not saying these folks would do it. And churches, you know, I wouldn't want to be in your position of having to say, well, this church promises it's not going to pray to its God on Thursday or Saturday mm-hmm. or whatever day that offends someone else. You know, I have no problem with a church going in there. I have a problem with the soup kitchen concept emanating from that and the parking. If everybody shows up on church on Sunday in the neighborhood, it's probably good for the neighborhood, and there's plenty of parking around there.
Current church, Saturday or Sunday?
Current church is Saturday.
Current church is Saturday. This church operates Sunday.
Sunday. Now, in speaking with Mr. Walton today, you know,
Mr. Walton, he's a foot owner?
Yes, sir. Sorry. You know, if there are any concerns with going forward with this evening, what I promised him is that, you know, we would, and the applicant is here to answer your questions, but if there's any concerns about going forward, he was not able to attend this evening, and he apologizes, but that if that were the case, we perhaps the board might entertain tabling to the next meeting so that we could bring forth any other information you might be looking for, and Mr. Walton would be able to be here and participate.
Are there any other questions of any other members of the board at this point? Yes, Mr. Moses.
Your condition number two, could you explain that to me again? Am I reading this right, that if one church leaves, they both have to leave, or am I misreading that?
No, sir. Whichever church vacates their unit, let's say Unit B becomes vacant, and now we have a new church that wants to go back into Unit B. We're not going to look at it as we have in the past, that we just say, yes, you had a special exception in 1996, you may go into Unit B. It would be...
Is that what it says?
It's what it's supposed to. It's what it,
at such
what
time as City Church or Morningstar Church cease to use Unit A or B, this special exception and the special exception granted for Unit B shall become void. They mm-hmm. both shall become void.
You're correct. I need to correct that wording. You're absolutely
okay.
correct.
I just...
So one of them leaves, they both got to shut down. I'm sure that's not your intent.
That's not the
okay.
intention, no.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do we have... are we going to populate an agenda next week or next month? Do we have applications? When's the next time we have applications? Do we have none in the future?
I haven't heard about anything of you.
No.
Well, you know, and I hate to, you know, these guys want to get going with their...
And I appreciate the concern that you've raised.
Is the concern the soup?
Well, you know, aspect possible. Well, we're going to hear from the applicant. We can certainly ask some questions with regard to that if that affects our thought process. I mean, and it appears that you got A and B, and if a conflict occurs that would eliminate one of them, the property owner seems to be comfortable. That's the way he's been doing it. So I suppose there's no downside to him. I think at this time, if there are no further questions of staff, I'd like to hear the presentation from the applicant. Does anyone else? We might call you back, ma'am.
I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, applicant.
Good afternoon.
Hi, can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Jose Cabezudo, 13 Hamlet Run, Ocala, Florida.
Raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Tell us what you're about, sir.
Say that again?
Tell us your...
Well, we want to open a church in downtown to help the community, you know, try attract young people to the community and help the community. We've been having service for 9 years. Oh, the church is 25 years. Right now, I'm in my 10th year here in Ocala, and we're doing a phenomenal job with the youth, with the kids.
Are you currently operating in that facility now?
Yes, we're okay. there like
and you
for...
Have been.
Say that again?
And you have been for a while?
Yeah, in that facility, we've been like I want to say 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
We're having service there. We sharing space with the Morningstar Church. They have service on Saturday. They don't have much people. We are on Sundays and Wednesdays having service for the community there. And we're working fine. Parking space is good. They don't have enough people. That's the situation. And we talk about merging probably because they sabbatical. They don't have service on Sundays. And so that's why we take advantage of the space on Sundays. That's the most people come to church.
Okay. I'd like to address one issue that has come up before this. The nature of what you do with your church. Feeding the public. Do you do that?
Well, we not do that. We just...
I'm not here to manage your mission, but if you can appreciate the fact that the nature of what goes on there has an impact on the neighborhood around it.
Yes.
And our responsibility is to be cautious that the city or the neighborhood around it does not create a negative impact. Certainly a church is thought of to be positive. I think of them as positive. I attend the church I attend. But what you do in your church can have a lot of effect on the impact of the neighbor.
What we do mission is in our community, but we do it in hospital. Like in Christmas, we help kids with Christmas gift. We visit the hospitals. We visit the Salvation Army. We visit the shelters, and we provide clothes. And we raising funds to go there and help the community there. That's our mission, be there and help the people.
What functions occur at your church other than worship?
What?
What functions occur at your church?
Yes.
Other than worship?
Well, we have service for youth.
Yes, okay.
We have basketball tournaments. Yes. We have softball tournaments. I have the student pastor here, if you can help me. What we do with the community, and one of the elders of the church. This is Pastor Joey.
If you would please finish your presentation.
And no problem.
We will let others speak.
No problem. We help the community in with the youth in tournament, like I said, softball, basketball.
Well, those don't occur on that premise.
No, we don't do it in the premises.
Okay. I mean, just because you got to have a field to play softball.
Yes, we do it.
Okay.
We do it outside the in the church. Actually, we came to worship. We have classes. We have classes for budgeting for people. People came to help to do a budget for families. We have small groups in the community, in the church. We do different things, but in the property. We don't currently do kitchen soup. We never do it at this point. We do a Christmas facility or Christmas parade or Christmas thing. Okay. In the church. People came, get gift for the kids. Mostly we do that in a parking lot, but no, we never do a kitchen soup.
Okay. Well, the things that would occur at that location would be the things that could have an impact on others. And certainly, much like you heard about our medical facility, all these things are positive, but we have to be cautious about the impact that reaches outside of that.
Understandable.
Are there any questions of the applicant? Yes, sir, Mr. Reese.
Would you be, would it hurt your mission if we restricted this so that you could not have a soup kitchen?
I don't see a situation with that.
Okay.
That's you guys. You know, we're gonna submit that you guys. We want to be in downtown. We want to help downtown. We're gonna bring some kids to the downtown. We want to bring some youth life to the downtown. We're a vibrant church, and
okay.
I think it would be amazing to have the church here in downtown.
Any other questions? This happened. Yes, sir.
Just for clarity's sake, do you now occupy or utilize Morning Stars facility? Is that what you...
Yes.
Not the...
No.
Not Unit A.
No, Unit A. We're in Unit B for like 3 months. A little bit more, I think 4 months.
You paying rent to anybody?
Well, we give like an offering to Morning Star Church.
To the other church?
Yes.
Now you're going to be signing a lease to the landlord, to the property owner, or no?
Yes.
Yes.
To Unit A, we will sign a lease.
Yeah. And you, other than soup kitchen, do you distribute solid foods in any way, or do you do any food distribution?
We help the community. Somebody came with a situation. If you have enough food, you know, storage, we give away. But we never, it's never been our mission to do that, but we do it in the past. Mostly clothes, and our mission is go to the situation, not bring people here. you know, we go to shelters.
Now, you don't have an inventory, but if somebody comes to you and asks for help, you try to provide that help.
Yes.
But not from an inventory of a store.
No, we try to help them.
Okay. Any other questions? That answer yours?
Yes.
Is there anyone else of the applicant? Have you finished your presentation, sir?
Yes, sir.
Is there any other person of your applicant that has something new to offer?
State your name and address, please.
Sam Troach, 3300 Southeast 31st Street. Sorry.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the whole truth?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
How are you doing, my guys?
We're fine. How about you?
It's an honor to be here. Thank you very much for having me. I'm the owner of Pronto Pizza on 17th Street, Churchill Square, with a partner named George Sullivan, and when I came to Ocala back like 11 years ago, before that, I was serving the Lord 12 years back in New York with Redemption Ministries, and I was part of their group, and they were doing a lot of outreaches out there and helping the youth. And so when I came over here, I was desperately looking for a church that would do similar things as we were doing in New York, helping the youth and the community. And there were a great impact over there. And so I found New Horizon, which now is City Church, and I've been with them for 6 years. And what we're all about is helping our youth, getting them out of the streets and imparting food from the living Word of God. It doesn't necessarily have to mean soup kitchen, but yeah, we're going to feed them what is necessary for our youth.
Well, I mean, if you have a pizza party, is what you might be telling us.
We'll feed them pizza.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Or you're basically serving your congregation as opposed to offering a place for the public in general anybody's welcome to be worship. I don't mean that, but I mean.
Well, as Christian, but our job is to.
I understand, sir.
In part, you know, everything God's giving us.
We absolutely. And our
be a cracker or pizza.
I understand. It's not so much what it is, but our mission as a Christian also is to make sure that our mission does not create a nuisance for our neighbor.
No, absolutely.
That's some of what you're hearing us attempt to determine, quite frankly.
Actually, our goal is maybe one day to take over the building, not for it to have two okay. A and Bs. I don't know if you, Walton, we've been in negotiation to try to take over the building within okay. the year. So there'll be one unit,
okay.
not two.
All right. Does that conclude your presentation?
Okay.
Are there any questions of this applicant?
Is there?
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Do you have something new to add, sir?
Not really. I'm just a youth pastor.
Okay, I mean, if you have something new to offer, so be it, and if not...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Can you state your name and address for the record? I'm sorry.
Yes, Joyvan Jimenez, 23 Cedar Drive, Ocala, Florida.
Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I've been working as a youth pastor now, with Pastor Manny, for 9 years, and now we have anywhere from 80 to 150 young people, and we try to meet every week. We do not do soup kitchens. I don't think a lot of young people like soup, but we do a lot of activities with them, like in the park playing softball, and from Pronto Pizza, they help us out a lot with the kids with eating pizza. So our goal is to really reach out to the need of the community with the young people and the gangs here in Ocala, and we felt that in order to be able to accomplish that, we had to reach the middle of the city, right in downtown Ocala. And that's our goal, that's our mission, and we've been pretty successful, thank God, and we have a great team, and this is what our heart is all about.
Well, good for you. Are there any questions of this applicant? Thank you, sir. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we approve this with the staff recommendations, with the deletion of staff recommendation 2 about units A and B, and with the inclusion that there is no on-premise soup kitchen or dispensing of food to non-members.
I hear a second.
I would second that. Does that deletion cover staff's intent on the initial inclusion of that?
It's my motion that we
just do away with it.
Do away with it. It is what it is, and I don't think we have the power to change what a prior.
And I'm good with that. I'll second that.
Call the roll, please.
Mr. Jergens?
Yes.
Mr. Moses?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Roos?
Yes.
Mr. Williamson?
Yes. You may proceed.
No suit.
Any old business? Any new business? Motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. You've been sitting too long.
No. I stepped off the ladder two rungs above the floor, but I wasn't. Don't ask me why. I was coming down the ladder on my own.
Oh, no.
Yes, this was Saturday.
Yeah, I'll be coming over on
paper brick floor in my building. I'm a little stove up, but I'll be all right.
That's Friday night.
Hope to.
You have to.
I have. I didn't miss Saturday at work.
You bring some ice candy for us to.
Thanks. Well, I know. You know, my phone one's not going to be there. What happens? I'm coming down the ladder. I've got some porches, but I'm two rungs off the bottom. Don't ask me why. I just stepped back as if the pool was there, and I fell, and it was paper bricks, and my leg caught the ladder, and my, you know, reached down. But I'm just sore. I'm not injured. It took me a second to come to that conclusion after I hit that floor.